And really, the public in California is middle of the road. Mm-hmm. They're very moderate, but you don't see that in the legislature, especially on crime. We've done a lot of reform, some good reforms and some very bad reforms. There's really been no check-in with that to see what's working and what's not working. So it continues to be an issue.
Yeah, it's a... Hello and welcome again to another episode of Sactown Talks. Today we're glad to be joined by Sheriff-elect Jim Cooper, Assemblyman Jim Cooper. How's it going, Jim? Thanks for joining us.
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, glad to have you. I've been a busy, week here. You just had a big victory last Tuesday. Can you kind of tell us about the win and kind of, you know, what's going on right now?
Well, we're up 10 points and 21,000 votes, and it should get finalized probably late next week at the latest. Mm-hmm. They're counting 127,000 votes still.
Wow, that's amazing. Sacramento County, that's still...
It is.
Still that many votes to count.
People send them in late.
Yeah, exactly. So like 10 years ago, remember, like we used to know the results like right away, and now it takes so long.
It's crazy. I wouldn't say frustrating, but it just kind of drags on and prolongs things.
Right, right. So kind of can you explain the process? Because everyone keeps wondering, like, does Jim have to do another runoff, or did you win? Is it over?
It's over. It's over once it's certified and done, and we should get that certification or that reckoning next week. Mm-hmm.
And then when would you officially take over as
not till January. My intent is to fill out my remaining term in the legislature.
Okay. So you don't take over till as sheriff as until January 1, so you can still finish your entire assembly term this year, then, right?
Yeah. It was a hard decision to make. I'm leaving 4 years on the table in the assembly, and I love the legislature, but with the sheriff's department right now, they've got a lot of issues, and it's a good time for a leadership change, so it was a matter of timing. Otherwise, I'd originally planned on finishing all 12 years.
Right. And, you know, you started in the sheriff's department, right? And, you know, how many years did you work there for?
30 years. Retired as a captain, spent 10 years in narcotics and gangs, worked undercover, bought a lot of drugs undercover. So
right.
It was a great career. I love it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you were mayor of Elk Grove. And then you ran for sheriff, 12 years ago?
12 years ago in 10, and lost by less than 1%.
That's crazy. But then it kind of gave you the path to be the assemblyman.
Yeah. And actually, that was a good thing. And it's good to lose because you know what it tastes like.
Right.
And also coming here to the assembly, as you said, it was a great learning experience. I think I grew in the assembly and developed a lot of relationships.
That's kind of what I want to ask you is like, you know, those, you know, years you've now spent as an assemblyman, how is that going to help you as SAC sheriff?
I think it'd be a better person, and especially in the legislature, you talk to everybody on both sides of the issue and just sitting down and listening and really developing relationships. And then probably the most important thing, it's about compromise. You don't have to get all, there's that middle ground. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I'm a mod. I'm a middle of the road person.
Right. So we're coming off, you know, a decade of Scott Jones. Super conservative.
Right.
Kind of what were you hearing out there on the campaign trail? What did voters care about, you know, in the sheriff's race this year?
They just wanted transparency. They know law enforcement's a tough job, but they want things to be transparent. And, you know, just, they wanted a change. They're tired of the lawsuits, the vitriol, the rhetoric, and they just wanted to get things back to normal. And hopefully we'll do that.
Yeah. You know, in the news, especially the last 2 years, what we hear a lot about it is increase in crimes, especially in the Bay Area, but we're seeing it here too. Kind of, are you hearing any concern from voters on increase of crime here in the county?
Well, up until the economy took a dive, the number one issue was homelessness, and there's some crime mixed in there, and crime was number two. Mm-hmm. So it's people are very concerned about it. People don't want to go out sometimes. They're worried, and it shouldn't be that way. You should be able to enjoy Sacramento. Sacramento's a safe place, but crime is on the uptake, violent crime and theft.
Yeah. And, you know, you've been here for 8 years. Kind of what do you attribute kind of on the political side? Why are we seeing this rise in crime here?
I think a portion of it is from the legislature and a lot of soft on crime legislation that's happened. And the folks out there, the bad guys, and they know there's kind of an air of invincibility amongst them that you're not going to get in trouble and not be held accountable. So we see a lot of folks carrying guns these days, a lot of gun violence. We had a bill the other day. They wanted to go ahead and it's a new law that's winding its way through the legislature to make ghost guns, you know, a crime. And I got up on the floor and spoke about it. I said, I applaud the author for introducing the bill, but the bill's a misdemeanor. So think about this. That's the same as vandalizing, breaking someone's window, doing a lawn job, spray painting graffiti. No one's going to jail for a misdemeanor. No one's getting booked in jail for a misdemeanor.
Right.
So if you want to have an impact, make possession of a non-serialized gun with no serial number a felony and not a misdemeanor.
Yeah, and there seems to be a general reluctance to create new felonies, right? Like, I don't even know when the last one was created. Do you?
No, it's been a long time. And it's just, like I said, it's not the way the public sees things. And really, the public in California is middle of the road. Mm-hmm. They're very moderate, but you don't see that in the legislature, especially on crime. We've done a lot of reform, some good reforms and some very bad reforms. There's really been no check-in with that to see what's working and what's not working. So it continues to be an issue.
You know, it's interesting. You know, we had this wave of kind of more liberal prosecutors and district attorneys, and now we've kind of seen a backlash from that, especially in San Francisco, where you saw the recall of the DA there. We're seeing the voters definitely want safety, right? Public safety. Kind of like, how do we go back? How do we create that accountability to kind of, you know, get ourselves in check?
And that's really the big thing. People want accountability to make sure that folks are doing what they should be doing. And in the era of these reforms, folks knew they weren't going to go to jail or prison behind things. And that's the mentality right now. And we've got to change that mentality. And it's not about, you know, locking everybody up, but holding folks accountable. If you break the law, you're going to be held accountable for that. Mm. And it's important with that.
Yeah. And it's kind of like this frustration we see here, especially downtown with the homelessness. You know, there just seems like a general apathy from the law enforcement because they feel they can't do anything because, you know, there's no space for in the jail, or it's a misdemeanor. So, you know, the guy will just be out later that day. Kind of, how do we solve this problem where, you know, we can start creating accountability and start, you know, cleaning, you know, kind of the mess up around here?
Sure. Well, being homeless is not a crime, but you still can enforce the laws in those homeless camps. There's a lot of crime going on, a lot of drug dealing, a lot of theft. You look at homeless on homeless murders, there's probably been about 9 in Sacramento and a lot of violence there. So law enforcement can still enforce that. And in a lot of cases, they don't do that. And they can't be afraid of that, of the repercussions. They got to go out and enforce that. And you think about this. In California, we've got about 53,000 people in California on parole, and about 10,000 are transient. They don't have a home. Some legitimately, and some just don't want their place of residence searched by parole officers or law enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. And in Sacramento County, about 370 are declared homeless. So you're on parole from state prison, so you were in prison for something very serious, more than likely violent, and there's no way that a parole officer can check in on you because they don't know where you are,
right,
to try and figure out if you're complying with your terms and conditions. And we had a murder of Kate Tibbetts in Southland Park. Lamb Park. She was murdered by a homeless parolee. And that just doesn't sit well with me. So I ran a bill this year, and that bill said, if you're a parolee and you're homeless, we're going to put you on an ankle bracelet monitoring, so that way your parole officer at least knows where you are and where you've been. And then if you ever acquire housing, we're going to take it off. So it kind of makes sense. We aren't criminalizing it. We just want to make sure that you're doing and you are where you should be. And that bill died in public safety with only 2 votes. It was, I believe, 2-5.
So kind of why does like just a simple bill like that, you think something that's good policy definitely enhances public safety, why can't that get the votes?
Just the atmosphere of the legislature right now. And that's being honest about it. And that really makes sense. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't infringe on anyone's rights. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we want to get you in housing, but we want to make sure you're in compliance. You know, and that was a tragic case. That woman, her brother came and testified at the hearing. Her friend came and testified. She was raped, murdered, her house set on fire, and her 2 dogs killed. That's a horrible person,
right,
that did that. And the DA is seeking the death penalty in that case. But yet, we've had a number of other crimes committed by homeless parolees. The individual in Rancho Cordova, the woman that was raped and killed, he was on probation. So, you know, crime is a big issue, and there's a correlation with homelessness. Not everyone, but some folks out there.
Right. You know, so, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, inmates released from prison. You know, we had an overcrowding issue. You know, we've released a lot. Then we had COVID and released even more. Kind of, you know, what's the vetting process in letting these people out, knowing if they're ready or not to join society?
Pretty much they're letting everybody out. They're releasing about 100 lifers a month and have been for the past 2 years. And the amount of credits they get, because credits if in prison, because you were doing good things, trying to improve yourself. And pretty much now everyone gets credits. It doesn't matter whether you're attending programs or not. And what's troubling is, you'll have folks that are released from prison that they want you to attend anger, part of your conditions, mm-hmm. attend anger management, substance abuse classes, and they don't attend those, and yet they don't violate them. And it's tough. You want to make sure these folks are going to be out there, but you want to make sure they get the necessary classes that they need to help them change their behavior. They're not attending, and there's no repercussions behind that.
Right, because there's, I guess, nowhere to put them if they do, right?
Well, there's a place to put them. They just don't want to do it. They don't want any accountability, and they know that because they don't get violated.
Interesting. You know, it used to be like a belief that like the only inmates that were being released were just nonviolent. You know, they did kind of some petty crime, but here we are seeing, you know, people with violent histories being released. Kind of, you know, when would that shift happen? You know, why are these people, you know, as you're saying, lifers being released?
Well, that's kind of a misnomer to talk about nonviolent inmates. And you always hear that, hey, we're releasing nonviolent offenders. So right now, today in California, these crimes are considered nonviolent. They're felonies, of course, but they're considered nonviolent crimes. Drive-by shooting, hate crimes, domestic violence, drugging and raping a woman, raping somebody developmentally disabled, human trafficking of a child, assault with a deadly weapon if I stab you or beat you with a baseball bat or a golf club and seriously injure you. Those are nonviolent crimes. You're out early.
Wow.
The shooting on K Street, Smiley Martin,
right.
He went to prison for assault with a deadly weapon and domestic violence. He drug his girlfriend out of the house by her hair and beat her with a belt and drug her into a car. Those were serious felonies.
Right.
And yet, because they're considered nonviolent in California, he was released early. And that's troublesome. So I ran a ballot initiative in 2020, Prop 20, that addressed that issue. It didn't pass. I've run multiple bills to try and get the law changed. Because when you ask the average person, should these crimes be considered violent crimes, they resoundingly say yes. But yet, you can't get those changed in the legislature.
Yeah.
And it's been tried about 12 times over the last 20 years to no avail.
You know, one of the amazing things you're talking about is kind of these homeless parolees. It's kind of like, how is a parolee homeless? Like, how do you really release them without a plan, knowing that they have somewhere to live, you know, a plan of kind of getting themselves back on their feet? Like, you know, I thought they used to have halfway houses or something where
right.
someone could go and transition until they made it. Is that not happening? And you know,
no, not as much as it should. And that's really an issue. The state has to take some ownership in this. If someone can't house themselves, the state needs to do that and make sure they get through their programs, but they aren't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you've got 370 folks in Sacramento right now that have no place of residence upon their release. They're basically homeless. Like I said, some are legitimately homeless and some just don't want their place searched because they're involved in illegal activity.
Right. And that's kind of what was always my question is we've seen this huge surge of homelessness in the past 5 years. It seems to be getting worse and worse. And I kind of always wondered, like, what percentage of this population is actually people who are released from prison?
Right. It's a good percentage and people don't think about that. And that just goes with, we've got some bill coming up with the governor's care court. He's trying to change that. And the ACLU and all these groups don't want anything done with the homeless, you know, as far as getting them better. And their idea of freedom is someone out there walking down the street with no clothes on, eating out of a trash can in 30-degree weather. And they're okay with that instead of being the adult in the room and helping our most gravely disabled who can't care for themselves get some help.
Right.
And jail's not the place because in jail, you know, folks go there, they get cleaned up, they get fed, and they get on medication and some are able to function again. But they don't belong in jail. They belong on something else. And these folks are opposing the bill, and they're a bunch of morons. Complete morons because, like I said, it's gotten worse. We spent $15 million, and it's housing, 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 housing apart. But you also have to deal with mental illness and substance abuse. And on that mental illness part, there are some folks that, you know, it's just been troubling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to fix. So,
right.
You know, someone's got to be responsible. The governor's starting that, but we need to go a lot further.
Right. You know, it's kind of amazing is, you know, we have this huge budget surplus, you know, nearly $100 billion, kind of like you think you could solve a big issue around here, something kind of like
right.
a lot of the stuff you're talking about.
Right.
Kind of anything in the works budget wise that you're seeing that could help solve some of these issues?
I think the care court helps and really focus on, like I said, housing's important. But like I said, you need to get someone, get their mind right and deal with the mental illness portion and substance abuse. It's hard getting off drugs if you have a job and a roof over your head. Let alone if you're homeless. And that's the toughest part about that. And drugs have been decriminalized and it's still a problem. It's still an issue. And people don't realize that. You know, I get it, but you know, having spent 10 years in narcotics and 30 years as a cop, a lot of your domestic violence situations involve alcohol and or drugs, a lot of child abuse, same thing, alcohol and or drugs, and a lot of crime involves drugs. So there's really nothing good about drugs. It impacts our societies on a number of levels, and also the theft issue too. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're ironing out the final details of the budget. Anything that you're kind of looking at that, you know, is going to benefit Sacramento County or your district?
I think a couple of things. Number one is ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children, Child Pornography. For 25 years now, it's always been $1 million a year split amongst five task forces. So they got $200,000 each, and now is able to get ongoing funding for that in the amount of $5 million. So that I'm happy about that. Sacramento's had a lot of sideshows where folks shut down the freeways and do donuts and spin outs. Now there's money for that statewide. So we're getting some things that really impact our community, amongst other things. There's a lot of different bills in there that do different things.
Right. So, we're coming up to legislative recess. You know, you've moved, you know, a majority of your bills to the Senate. Kind of what's your legislative package looking like right now, and kind of what bills are you excited to see get to the governor's desk?
God, we've got a host of bills that are headed to the governor's desk. I don't have a favorite. I like them all. I don't love them all, because in this place, as soon as you fall in love with your bill, they will hold you hostage and kill your bill. So I like them, and it's just a variety of bills that do a lot of different things. So I can't really point to one favorite, you know?
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's weird because you play defense a lot because you're trying to amend bad bills or kill bad bills for that matter that really impact the public and public safety. And that's been my issue is women and children and dealing with folks involved in sex crimes. Mm-hmm. So I really play a lot more defense and offense.
Yeah. That's interesting. As you're looking forward to kind of like, you know, the sheriff and taking over next year, kind of, you know, I have a couple buddies who are in the sheriff's office. Kind of what kind of changes can they expect when you take over? And as they say, the new sheriff's in town.
I think transparency, number one, they're just now getting around to body cameras. They should have had body cameras a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Look at all the police departments in the region. They've had body cameras for years.
Oh, wow.
And it really helps the public, number one. It tells the story for the most part, and it helps the officer. So it benefits everyone all the way around. That's important. The inspector general, because the public wants transparency, that inspector general did a neutral investigation. It was an unbiased investigation in the instance of the sheriff's department because he wrote a report the sheriff didn't like, the sheriff fired him. So how do you maintain public trust when that happens? That's not okay. The sheriff's department has had more officers killed in line of duty than agencies much larger. Why is that? Is it training? Is it resources? Why has that happened? And really looking at things like that and being a good partner. There's a problem when you have members of the Board of Supervisors tell me the only time they see the sheriff is when he's over at the budget hearings. There's no relationship with him. And you have to have a relationship with the board. The board funds the department. Obviously, the sheriff does as he sees fit. To where that money goes to, but the board funds it. So you really need a relationship to work with the board. They're your partners. You're dealing with homelessness and a myriad of issues. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't pay to be adversarial. And we've seen that way too much in the county.
Right. You know, that's kind of cool. As you're talking about your experience in the assembly, how can it help you, you know, be sheriff? And it's kind of, you know, if you've learned the political process, you've learned how to be political. I guess another aspect is you know, being sheriff, you know, and then working with the legislature, kind of with what you know. Kind of what can we look forward to you kind of like using your role as sheriff to kind of work with the legislature still and kind of implement some of the things you're seeing?
Well, number one, I'll be out here testifying. In my 8 years here, no one from the sheriff's department management has ever come down and testified in a hearing. And there's been a tremendous amount of bills during that time that impacted law enforcement. And yet they were just 2 miles away, but they never saw fit to come down here and weigh in on those issues. So you'll see me down here really be engaged, working with the governor's office and the members of both houses and, you know, trying to make Sacramento safer and California safer and weighing in, because law enforcement, it is a specialty and a lot of it's based on knowledge on what's going on. So it's really conveying that knowledge and trying to make things better.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of amazing that, you know, you've been in here for 8 years. It seems like it's gone by so fast. And kind of what are some of your kind of more proud achievements you've done over the past 8 years that you've been able to kind of implement here in the legislature?
Just legislation. I'll tell you, making legislation that was, to me, harmful, making it better, taking amendments. It's that's probably, folks don't realize that because, you know, when bills are first introduced, they're getting amended along the way. And sometimes you make some really horrible bills palatable, and probably more with that on a whole host of bills that we've just weighed in and talked about.
Right.
And tried to fix, really, that I think did the public injustice. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. You know, you've been one of the, you know, steadfast law enforcement officers kind of on the Democratic side, something you don't see a lot up here in the legislature.
True.
They're probably going to miss your presence. But as you said, you've been one of the more moderate members and you've been able to kind of, you know, implement your wisdom where you see fit. You know, as you're looking ahead, you know, here in 2023, as you'll be gone, kind of, you know, are they going to miss that? Are they going to miss your voice? And, you know, who do you see taking over that role?
I don't know, because there's not anyone right now. And the thing is, on some of these issues, and a lot of it happens, you know, because everything passes public safety. It's a fight on the floor where you've actually gone on the floor and given a speech that people, that resonates with fellow members, and actually can kill a bill that way. Mm-hmm. And I've done that on a number of occasions, and just using my expertise and knowledge and having members listen to me. So I think that is going to be missed.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
No, definitely. Well, it's been a pleasure having you here the past 8 years. Looking forward to, you know, what you're going to do as sheriff. And thank you so much for stopping by, Jim.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. Well, congratulations. Good seeing you. And we'll catch up later.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Jim.